We desire your prayers for the Lord to bless his word today. If he doesn't bless it, it will be but sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. We are leaning on the Lord, and we have a scripture that, some scriptures we're going to combine for starting out. And for me, anyway, it's not scriptures that I go to and read real often. You know, we sometimes pick up the Bible and we have maybe our favorite places that we turn to. Maybe even we've turned to it so many times our Bible just automatically opens to that place. And yet there's much treasure in the word of the Lord. I want to, by the help of the Lord, speak about the hope of the righteous. I think hope is something that we don't just verbalize or think about in our mind all the time, what it means to us to have a hope of life, an eternal life, and hope in God. And I know I don't just think about hope every day. I don't know about you, but we would like to, just as we have been wanting to direct our thoughts to having mindful of heavenly things, I'm sure that there's a whole lot that could be said or even thought on about hope this morning. Can't give it all. It's a subject that is probably beyond what we could even cover in a lifetime. So I'm going to read from Isaiah 51 and 1. And then I'm going to go to Zechariah 9, 11 and 12 and 16 and 17. Isaiah scripture says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. And then look to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." The Zechariah scriptures read thus. It says, "As for these, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth my prisoners out of the pit. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. The Lord God shall save them in that day as a flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty." Those are some scriptures just sort of put together, but don't they sound good? When was the last time you thought about the pit from which you were digged? You remember where you came from? Do you remember what you were saved from? Were you headed down a road that you could be lost? Yes, we all were. Scripture tells us we could not save ourselves. And as we follow on to know the Lord, it will pay us to remember where we've come from. You would be probably in a different place today. You wouldn't be sitting here, I don't think. I don't think I would be here if the Lord had not dug me out of my pit. Yes, it affects our families. I'm so thankful that he has a blood of his covenant, that he sent forth the prisoners out of a pit. We were prisoners in a pit. Oh, God was so merciful to all of mankind. Even when Adam and Eve failed and ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and their eyes were opened up, and they knew that they were unclothed, and it changed everything for all of mankind. If it had only been them, that would have been different. But sin came into the world, and we have dealt with sin and wickedness and the knowledge of it ever since. But we can be free. God can deliver us from sin, and he can deliver us from the knowledge of it. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that he can cover your mind when you have given your mind to ungodly things, and yet he can come in and cover it? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Oh, what a hope we have in the grace of God, in the salvation of God, in the deliverance of God. We have hope this morning.
I found it so.
I found it so. You've heard me tell this before. Our human minds can remember. We can recall. And yet, what do we do with it? Being in Walmart and this theme song come up of a movie that I had seen. And I could, if I wanted to, I could recall that probably scene by scene. But what I do, I cry out to the Lord and I say it like this: I still am sorry. It's not that I have to repent of it. He's forgiven. He's forgotten. He's cast it as far as the east is from the west. But I believe he likes to hear me say, I still am sorry. I don't want those thoughts. I don't want that memory. And what he does, he covers it with his blood.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. Are you a prisoner of hope this morning? And that doesn't even sound like that goes together, does it? Hope seems positive. A prisoner seems like they're shut up and they're... We can be shut up to hope. It's almost like being shut up to faith. It's what we choose. It's what we have pursued. We have sought after. When we seek after these things, we'll find them. He'll give it. When we ask, he'll give. Thank the Lord. I want to be a prisoner of hope.
Yes.
I want to be shut up to hope this morning, don't you?
Yes.
We're free of the pit, but now we are a prisoner of hope. So I would like for us to think a little bit and speak. We have been speaking of actually the future things, things that we called heavenly worth and heavenly value, but I think we want to look back a little bit, consider our pit. I am so thankful for the mercy of God and how he reached down. And when I got saved, I was at a crossroad, and I, looking back, I believe it was my last opportunity. God had been so merciful to me down through my life, and I had rejected his mercy many times. But oh, he had mercy on me one more time. So I'm no longer in that pit. Verse 12 that we read in the Zechariah scripture, it says for us to turn to the stronghold. Who is the stronghold this morning? Where are you going to find a stronghold this morning? It's going to be in that song that was sung, In Jesus Only. We have no other place to turn to. And we can hope in this stronghold, and we can hope in Christ and the message of hope that he has brought to the whole world. He tells us to repent and believe and apply to the Lord Jesus Christ, your only help and refuge. Christ is our only refuge. Don't get away from it. Don't let it lose the new car smell. Let it ever be there growing and how shall I say it? Because it is so easy in life to live life and go to your jobs and work in your family and get caught up with the cares of life and just not focus all of the time and keep it new and fresh. And it takes the Spirit of the Lord to keep this fresh in us. But you have to seek for it. It's not just going to fall on you. You have to cry out, Lord, as David did, renew a right spirit in me. And oftentimes when I use that in my prayer and I say, revive me, renew me, revisit me. What is re, the prefix re, what does it mean? Do it again. He has to do it again and again, all down through our life, to our last breath. And he's willing to do it again and again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. I may not know how, I may not know when, but he'll do it again. Oh, God wants us to be successful and make heaven more than I do, more than you do. He wants it. And he's willing to work a lifetime for me and for you. He's willing to work to our last breath. Thank the Lord. So Christ, and this is a scripture from 1 Timothy 1 and 1, Christ is called our hope. And that scripture actually says something to this effect, but is not quoted exactly. That is the only foundation we have to build our hope of heaven, is Christ. There's a scripture in Psalms, also Psalm 16 and 9, and it's just a little portion of that verse says, my flesh shall rest in hope. Don't forget about hope. Don't forget that we have a hope in many things that is alive. Not the things are alive, but our hope is alive. I want to go to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and read 28 through 31. Very familiar scriptures here. And it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Oh, it will pay us to go before the Lord and say, Lord, we know you're awake and alert. We know you're not fainting. We know that you never sleep. We know that you are a God that hears and sees. How many times, I would like to just challenge you a little bit in this way, but I feel that I have to sometimes just stop and think the things that I say in my prayers. Oftentimes I'll start out, Lord, you see. Lord, you know. And then I tell him what he sees and what he knows. And he knows it and he sees it. And he sees what you're fighting and he sees what your battle is and he sees when you're in affliction. He knows it all. He knows. And so we go before the Lord and Lord, you see this and you know this. He does not faint and he's never weary. And there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. That's you and me. There's going to be times that we're going to faint or feel like fainting. We may be weak. We may be weary and tired. And he put it in his word that be on your, now this is my words, be on your guard when you're weary and tired. He says, be ye endure. Endure, that's part of that when you're getting weary. You have to be revived and renewed and your hope revived and renewed. And so when we almost faint and also to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. Oh, there's times, don't you? Sometimes we feel weak. Sometimes we feel weak physically, and we may feel weak spiritually, and we may feel weak mentally and emotionally. We may feel weak, but our hope, oh, I have a hope in Christ that he knows and he sees, and he has the answer for me to help me to be renewed and revisited, thank the Lord. And it says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk, and they will not faint. Because he is not asleep, and he faints not, and he's not weary. In the original Hebrew of this passage, this word wait is a Hebrew word called, and I may not be pronouncing it correctly, kava. It's a Q-A-V-A-H. And it has a translation of, in Hebrew or from Hebrew, to wait with expectancy, to look for, to lie in wait. And so it would do no damage to this scripture if we read that part of the phrase. But they that wait with expectancy, and they that look for and lie in wait, what will happen? They'll renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. There's a result of having hope, of waiting with an expectant end. Oh, the Lord wants us to be positive. He gave us the whole catalog of what we call heroes of faith, and they all had to have some kind of expectations in order to receive what they had faith for. You must have expectations from God with hope. Waiting is part of that. Looking for it. There's another Hebrew word, and it's used in the Old Testament for hope. And I was a little, I didn't quite know how to connect it, but when the children of Israel were planning to go and take over Jericho, and there was a woman that lived up on the wall, and she hid those men. And then she said, "When you come again, will you spare me and my family?" And they gave her a promise. And they said, "We're going to put this red thread in your window. And as long as you're in that house, if you do not leave the house, we will save you." Now, the writer of that gave this, that thread represented hope. Hope to her family, because she asked for all of her family. She didn't ask just for herself. She was not a selfish woman. You know what? We can have a hope for our family if we take our family to the Lord. I've said this to you many times. Nobody's going to pray for your family like you do. We can help each other pray. We can put in requests. And we can be agreed in prayer. But down to the bottom line, it's going to be your prayers for your family. And that's how it was with this woman. And she had hope in the fact that she was going to have this red thread there, and it was going to say, "Save my family." So I want to give you what that Hebrew word was, which I probably am not pronouncing it either. Tikvah. T-I-Q-V-A-H. And you know what it translated to? A rope. Have you ever heard the saying, when you come to the end of your rope, you do something. You tie a knot and hold on. Well, there was another word that was translated to, and that was anchor. If you're hoping in God, you've got an anchor. And maybe you're going to come to the end of your rope, even in your walk with the Lord, or feel like you're at the end of the rope. Tie a knot. Hang on. Don't turn loose. Don't give up. Don't say it's too much. I can't bear this any longer. Oh, I want to tell you, He's promised He will not give you and me more than we're able to bear. All of your life. It's not just while you're young. You think you face many things when you're young. You are going to face many things when you're old. Yes. But I want to tell you, hold on. Don't give up. Don't turn loose. Hold on. You've got an anchor. What would a ship do if they didn't have an anchor? In the storms of life, the anchor holds. I remember when I was in my injury, And this just comes to me. I mean, I don't remember all of the words of the song, but one day Irma gave me this song, "The Anchor Holds." I could start crying right now. Because as that song spoke to me, I knew that God was my anchor, that He was holding on to me. I want to tell you, we need to hold on to God, but I'm telling you, God is holding on to us. And that anchor held me during that time. Thank the Lord. So this word of hope, it can mean different things. Hope just simply is also a lifeline. Hold on to God. Let's read Hebrews 6 and 17 through 19, and it says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise." Are you an heir of promise? What is an heir? We inherit things, don't we? If you're in a family and your parents pass on and they leave behind something to their children, they're heirs. And they inherit something. God has something for you and me to inherit. And it has to do with the promises of God. And we can hope in the promises. We can have faith in the promises. But we can have a hope in the promises. So it says that more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise, one of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. He confirmed this, that by two immutable things, two things that will not fail, in which it was impossible for God to lie. That's one thing. It is impossible that God can lie or will lie. Impossible. If the devil tells you a lie, it's not God. It's impossible for God to lie, and we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Have you laid hold on the hope that is? What is he talking about here? It's eternal life. It's some of those heavenly things to think about, to be reminded of. Oh, it's heavenly things. It's not earthly things. So we fled for a refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. Isn't that a precious verse? Oh, some of these verses just sort of come out of the air, you might say, and just sort of slip in there, and they just have a way of fitting and speaking to us and encouraging us. Keep the new car smell of your hope, of Christ, of eternal life. Don't let it get old. People put a lot of hope in other things, don't they?
Yes.
And we may too. We may put hope in our job. We could put hope in our home, our house. I think we might have said this last Sunday. We said something to the effect of hold things loosely of earth. Don't grip it so tight that you can't turn it loose. Don't be so tied to this world that when your time comes, it's hard for you to turn loose of this life. Have those thoughts of heavenly things, and don't place hope in your health even. You know, these bodies created all of us with dust. And we're going to go back to dust. And we're born to die. That's inevitable. You're just born to die. And you're not going to live forever. And the body begins, they say, to deteriorate from the time it's born. And as life develops and as time goes on and as we grow older, we're going to be infirmed. We're going to have afflictions. It's just part of life. So don't place your hope in your health. Don't place hope in money. And then I wrote down here, and I don't even know why I wrote it down, don't place hope in time itself. If we think, oh, tomorrow I'll change. Tomorrow I'll get saved. That, you know, tomorrow never comes. That's part of Pilgrim's Progress. There was a man that had a tiny sin, and he just thought it wasn't that important. Oh, I'll repent tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Today is the day of salvation. And so we mustn't place our hope in tomorrow, because we don't know if we'll see tomorrow. I'd like to turn our thoughts now just a little bit to the hope of eternal life. I have a few little scriptures I want to read. Jeremiah 29 and 11. This one is such a good scripture. It says, I know the thoughts I have toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Yeah. Do you like that verse? I like that verse. That verse is full of hope. He wants to give us an expected end. Titus 2 and 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh, that's part of those heavenly thoughts is looking for it, for that which is to come. It hasn't happened yet, but it will come. Another scripture in 1 Peter 1 and 13, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end. Don't let your hope be dim. Let your hope be bright, clear to the end, expecting to have that expected end and expecting to see Jesus' face. Thank the Lord. Then Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 24 and 25. The last of verse 25 says something I counted it as special duties as we see the day approaching. We do see the day approaching, don't you?
Yes.
Do you feel it?
Yes.
Yes, we feel it. Now I want to just address, and I'm going to call this my postscript. You know, when you write a letter and you come down and you have another little thought and you say, P.S., mm-hmm. And then you add your little thought after you've already put your signature in there. So this is a little instruction maybe to us. It spoke to me. The beginning of verse 24, it says, "Let us consider one another." And I want to talk to us about caring. Well, we talked about it in Sunday school, bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But it says, consider one another to provoke one another to love and good works. Are you your brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? I carry a responsibility to my fellow saint. I carry a responsibility, really, for my fellow man. How are we provoking one another? That word provoke can be negative. We can cause negative reactions in my brother and in my sister. We can do it maybe accidentally, have no intentions, maybe just speak before we think. Those kind of things happen. But oh, let us consider one another and provoke a positive provocation to love and good works. I want to tell you, one time the Lord gave me this scripture. Many years ago, my children were young, and I was having some difficulty with one of mine, and I was up, and everybody was in bed, and I was so concerned. You know, when we are raising our families, there's just times you're going to need the Lord so bad. So I was up by myself, and I opened my Bible, and it opened to this scripture. Provoke to love and good works. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "You know how to provoke to anger." And don't we know how to provoke to anger? Yeah. And he said, "Learn how to provoke to love and good works." I began to seek the Lord to help me to know how to do that. But I believe in this passage we're talking about, where we're seeing the day approaching, and this is that little postscript, something that is added. Be conscious of, be aware of your brother and your sister and their feelings and their spiritual health. Observe it. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to minister to you, that you can say, "I'm burdened for this person. And I pray for them. And I reach out and I try to show them love. And I try to provoke them to love and to also pursue good works." So I'm going to say this is some of our positive actions that we need to do as we see the day approaching. When I said, "Are we our brother's keeper?" and we all shook our head yes, or said yes, "I am your keeper. You're my keeper." We're also to be an encourager. This word provoke has many synonyms, and one of those is encourager or encouragement. Oh, reach out and encourage your brother and your sister in the battles of life, in the places they're facing every day, and whatever they're facing. Let us share each other's burdens. And there's another synonym is motivate or inspire. We may not be able to motivate so much with our words, but our, did you know consistency is a motivator and it's an inspirer. Yes. When the church house is open, it motivates me when you come. It inspires me. You're provoking me. And it goes with this scripture right here. And that's the very next thing. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, I don't know what that necessarily means. I think that what it could mean to us is that in the world, there's just not the interest in spiritual things and attending church. And we pass churches all the time coming to church on Sunday morning. I don't know if it's because we're coming early, but there's some, it looks like to me, fewer cars are in some of these parking lots. And so something's happening. Something's keeping people at home. And so it says here, let's be, you know what, I wrote this down, how we should, let us count our services precious. Don't let it lose the new car smell. Yes. When you're coming to church and you're feeling so tired and you're feeling halfway sick and you feel like best if I stay home. This morning I said, I am going in the name of the Lord. And he honored it. He honors that. And you being here today motivates me and it inspires me. And I said, let us seek to love for a love for the people of God. We need to love the people of God. Even when we see some fail, reach out in prayer, carry a burden, love. We need to care for each soul to make heaven. I want you to be there. Yes, yes. You know, remember that advertisement of Uncle Sam and he's pointing and he says, I need a few good men or something to that effect. And he's pointing. I'm going to point to you. I want you to be in heaven with me. And I want you to point to me. I want you to desire me to be in heaven also. Okay, we're going to close now. A couple of little scriptures here. Be not weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap if ye faint not. Said, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. That's going to have to, you're going to have to be that way as you see the day approaching. Yes. So hope in God. And you know, when these thoughts started coming to me about hoping in God, you know the scriptures where it says, hope thou in God. And there's about three or four that's in that passage and that chapter. And why is your soul cast down? Why are you disquieted within yourself? You're going to feel that way. Yes. You're going to have times that you're going to be disquieted. And your soul is going to feel cast down. And the answer is, hope thou in God. Pray for me. Mm-hmm.